It is harder to create than destroy. We all know that. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for coming today. I am Layla Turton from a Girton Page to Stage class. Before we begin today's performance, I would like to read some information about the history of deforestation in Victoria, written in the true Dr. Seuss style. In Victoria's forests, tall and grand, settlers arrived and took the land. The gold rush called, and with it came a hunger for timber, the forest's claim. With axe and saw, by hand they worked, selective logging, where care was shirked. Trees were chosen with mindful thought, the forest's bounty not yet for naught. But time marched on, and machines were near. In the 50s, they brought tools of fear. Clear felling took hold with force and might, and all the trees fell, no end in sight. Supporters said, it's quick and fair, the land will heal if given air. But roots were lost, the earth betrayed, erosion spread, and life decayed. Waters dirtied, habitats gone, the creatures fled, the forest waned on. Biodiversity was lost to the tide, the wounds of nature had no place to hide. Today we strive to turn the page, to heal the scars of this forest's age. Yet questions linger, doubts take flight. Are we too late to set it right? Still we fight for the forests, deep and wide, to guard their beauty, to turn the tide. But in the echoes, a whispered plea, remember what we failed to see. Thank you for listening. I would now like to present the 2025 Page to Stage class performing the Lorax.
At the far end of the town where the gookle grass grows and the wind smells slow and sour, deep in the gookle grass, some people say, if you look deep enough, you can still see today where the Lorax once stood, just as long as it could.
What was the Lorax and why was it there? And why was it lifted and taken somewhere from the far end of town where the gookle grass grows?
The old Onceler lives there. Ask him, he knows.
You won't see the Onceler. He stays in his lurkum on top of his store. On special occasions at midnight, he peeks out of his shutters and sometimes he speaks. Tells how the Lorax was lifted away, if you're willing to pay.
On the end of a rope, he lets down a tin pail. You have to toss in 15 cents, a nail, and the shell of a great-great-great-grandfather snail.
He pulls up the pail and makes a most careful count to see if you've paid him the proper amount.
Then he hides what you paid him away in his snug, his secret strange hole in his gravulous glove.
Ugh! I will call you by the whispermophone, for the secrets I tell are for your ears alone.
Shlop!
Down slops the whispermophone to your ear. The old ones' whispers are not very clear. Since they have to come down through a snurgly hose, he sounds as if he has smallish bees up his nose.
It all started way back, such a long, long time back. Way back in the days when the grass was still green and the pond was still wet, the clouds were still clean and the song of the swarmy swans rang out in space. One morning I came to this glorious place. I first saw the trees, the truffula trees, the bright tufts of mile after mile in the fresh morning breeze. Under the trees, I saw brown barbaloots frisking about in their barbaloot suits as they played in the shade and ate truffula fruits. And from the ripulous pond came the comfortable sound of the humming fish humming. But those truffula trees, all my life I'd been searching for trees such as these. The touch of their tufts was much softer than silk. They had the sweet smell of fresh butterfly milk.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day that dog say goodnight, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow.
In no time at all, the Wanzler had built a small shop. He chopped down a truffle tree with skill and great speed.
With speedy speed, I chopped and I took the soft tufts and knitted a thneed. The instant I finished, I heard...
Gazum!
He was shortish and oldish and brownish and mossy. He spoke with a voice that was sharpish and bossy.
Mister, I am the Lorax.
The who?
I speak for the trees that have no tongues. And I'm asking you, sir, at the top of my lungs, what is that thing you made out of my truffle tuft?
Look, Lorax, there's no cause for alarm. I just chopped one tree. I'm doing no harm. I'm being quite useful. This thing is a need, a fine something all people need.
Sir, you are crazy with greed. There is no one on earth who would buy that fourth need.
The very next moment, he was proven wrong. A chap came along and thought the thneed was great and happily bought it for $3.98.
You poor stupid guy. You can never tell what some people will buy.
I repeat, I speak for the trees.
The Wanzler rushed across the room and in no time at all built a radio phone. He put in a quick call to his brothers, uncles and aunts.
Listen here, a wonderful chance for the Wanzler family to get mighty rich. Get over here fast. Take the road to North Niche, turn left at Wigan and a sharp right at South Stitch.
In no time at all, in the factory that the Wanzler built, the whole family was working. They were knitting thneeds to the sound of chopping of truffle trees.
We now have an ad break.
Are you sad? Are you cold? Are you tired? Then...
you
need
a thneed!
What's a thneed, you might ask?
Why, a thneed is a thing that everyone needs!
So if you're breathing, you need a thneed.
I'm happy now!
Call 1-500-THNEED to get yours today!
And bonus offer just for you!
Be one of the first 50 callers to order today and receive
a free threesome! Order now!
And now we return to the program.
How the Wanzler's business grew. Chopping one tree at a time was now too slow. So the Wanzler quickly invented his super axe hacker. It whacked off four truffle trees at one smacker. He was making thneeds four times as fast as before, and the Lorax did not show up anymore.
The next week, the Lorax knocked on the Wanzler's new office door.
I am the Lorax who speaks for the trees, but you seem to be chopping as fast as you please. I'm also in charge of the brown barbalutes, who played in the shade in their barbalute suits and happily lived eating truffula fruits. Now, thanks to your hacking my trees to the ground, there's not enough fruit to go round. My poor barbalutes are getting the crummies because they have gas and no food in their tummies.
The barbalutes loved living there, but the Lorax could not let them stay because there was no food.
Good luck, boys. Hope you find food.
It's sad to see them go, but business is business and business must grow, regardless of tummies, you know. But I have to grow bigger. I bigged my factory, my roads, my wagons, and the loads of the sneeds I sent out. I'm selling more sneeds, which everyone needs. The Wanzler was fixing his pipes, and the old nuisance Lorax came back with more gripes.
I am the Lorax, Wanzler. You're making such smogulous smoke. My poor Swami Swans, why, they can't sing a note. No one can sing who has smog in their throat. Please, pardon my cough. They cannot live here, so I'll send them off.
Where will they go?
I don't know. What's more, let me say a few words about Gluppity Glup. Your machine clugs on day and night without stop, making Gluppity Glup. Also, Sloppity Slop. And what do you do with this leftover goo? I'll show you, you dirty old Wanzler man, you. You're glumping the ponds where the humming fish hummed. No more can they hum, for their gills are all gummed. So I'm sending them off. Oh, their future is dreary. They'll walk on their fins and get woefully weary in search of some water that isn't so smeary.
The onceler got angry and yelled at the Lorax. Now listen here, Dad. All you do is yap, yap, yap and say bad, bad, bad. Well, I have my rights, sir, and I'm telling you I intend to go on doing just what I do. For your information, you Lorax, I'm biggering on biggering and biggering and biggering, turning more tropical trees into sneeze, which everyone needs.
At that very moment, we heard a loud whack. From outside in the fields came the sickening smack of an axe on a tree. Then we heard the last traveller tree of all fall. No more trees, no more sneeds, no more work to be done. So in no time at all, the Onceler's uncles, aunts and everyone waved him goodbye. Now all that was left beneath the bad-smelling sky was the empty factory, the Lorax and the Onceler.
The Lorax said nothing. He just gave the Onceler a very sad glance as he lifted himself by the seat of his pants.
I'll never forget that grim look on his face when the Lorax heisted himself and took leave of this place through a hole in the smog without leaving a trace.
All the Lorax left in this mess was a small pile of rocks with the one word, unless. Whatever that means.
That was a long, long time ago now. But every day since then, the Onceler has sat and worried through the years with his whole heart while his buildings fell apart. Now, after all these years, this day, the meaning of the word of the Lorax, unless, is perfectly clear.
Unless someone cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better.
It's not!
I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Of the rainbow, so
pretty in the sky are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.